good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's July 1st, 2022. It's a Friday. TGIF, Pastor Butch Paul.
Yes, it is. I can't believe we're over halfway through another year now. I'm getting into the 4th of July weekend, so I'm sure that you must have a something big planned for the weekend.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm having family dinner, actually.
Oh, how nice.
All I have to do is show up and eat, though, so I'm all right.
All right, that's not too bad.
that's not too bad.
Yeah. We're having a little picnic on Monday. What day are you celebrating?
Well, that's good. That's always good. Yeah, but family's always fine. That's the idea. Family's kind of important.
What day are you celebrating?
Monday,
me too.
Yeah.
It's weird. So many of the fireworks are on Sunday. Go figure. But
Oh, well. I don't know. We have a fireworks show in Somerville next to where I live. It's a pretty decent show. But to me, it's not worth the sitting there and watching because it's only 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and it's over. You sit there for an hour and a half waiting for it to start. You know, just get to find a parking place. It's pretty crowded.
And then another half an hour and a half to get out of there.
Exactly. Get back
afterwards.
Home. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll just stay home, watch the stars.
Yeah.
And the lightning
bolts.
Before
I moved into this place where I'm at now, there was a neighbor across the way, and he used to do his, on Saturday nights, it didn't matter when the 4th was. It was always the Saturday, you know, before the 4th. He would have his own fireworks display, and they were just as nice as some of the cities. And so I could look out my living room window and watch those fireworks go up. So,
well, good for you.
Never knew his name, didn't know the name because he was, you know, there was acreages, so you didn't know him and so forth. So, yeah, it was nice. And then I had to move. And anyway, now that everybody knows a little bit of my story, let me go ahead and tell you the story about gold and silver today. A pretty big hit on the precious metals today, but there's no one working. No one working today. So gold was down. They hit it. We had 1784 for a low, bounced back to 1807. So 1800 is going to be a hopefully we can hold it there to keep it closing above that 1800 level. Silver got whacked. Was down as low as 1940. And now we're just hovering around the $20 level. Platinum was down $3 at $900. Palladium was up 22 at 2,034. The USDX today was stronger. Wow, 0.45. It's back up over 105. So that's what they can do. Crude oil was up 250 at 108.26. The paper markets, the stocks had a rally to end the first day of the second half. The Dow jumped 321 points, 31,097. S&P was up a little over 1%, 3,825. The NASDAQ was under just 1% at 11,125. Asian markets, the Nikkei was down 1.75%, but it was negative all across Asia. Europe, the FTSE was down. Everything else was positive. 10-year yield, that tanked today, down 2.889. 2.889, a huge drop for that 10-year yield. And even natural gas was stronger today by almost 5%, but it's still under $6 at 5.68. Brent is 111. And as I mentioned, WTI is 108. So, I don't know, Butch. I know you got something there on the economy, but today the Atlanta Fed GDP tracker shows that the U.S. economy is likely in a recession. So the Federal Reserve tracker of economic growth is pointing to an increased chance that we've already entered a recession. Most Wall Street economists have been pointing to an increased chance of negative growth ahead. But they are pushing to 2023. But this GDP now measures which tracks economic data in real time, and it adjusts continuously, sees the second quarter output contracting by 2.1%, coupled with the first quarter's decline of 1.6%. Of course, that puts us in the technical definition of a recession. That's what we've been telling you all along. GDP now has a strong track record, and the closer we get to the July 28th release of the initial second quarter GDP, the more accurate it will become. The tracker took a fairly precipitous fall from its last estimate of 0.3% growth on June 27th, but data this week showing further weakness in consumer spending and inflation-adjusted domestic investment prompted that cut, the cut that put the April through June period into negative territory. So we're there, folks. Whether anybody wants to admit it, who knows what month they'll finally, well, they won't admit it until August, probably.
Well,
you know, as long as
it, Go ahead.
Federal
Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says U.S. economy in pretty strong shape.
pretty strong shape for a recession.
He said the economy is in pretty strong shape as Americans face record inflation, gas prices, and a host of other hardships. So speaking before a panel at Central Banker Forum on Wednesday, Powell said the U.S. economy grew more than 5.5% over the past year since it reopened in the wake of the pandemic. We expected this year that growth would moderate to a more sustainable path, he said. We also, of course, are raising interest rates, and the aim of that is to slow growth down so that supply will have a chance to catch up. We hope that growth will still remain positive. As noted by Associated Press, Powell has proposed raising interest rates to just enough to slow the economy and rein in surging consumer prices while causing recession and sharply raising the unemployment rate. However, Powell said there was no guarantee raising interest rates would help stave off recession, and that Russian invasion of Ukraine had complicated matters. Nevertheless, the chairman said the U.S. households are in a very strong financial shape. Where is this guy from? Due to what he referred to as excess savings or forced savings from not being able to travel during the pandemic. Where is this guy from? Mars? Where's he from?
I do believe they are.
I believe they are. I mean, households in a strong financial shape and referred to excess savings. You know, I must have misplaced my excess savings. I don't know where it went. Do you know where yours went?
Well, you know, this is the guy who says that inflation was transitory. So, I mean, it's to the point where who can believe them? They're losing credibility. And, you know, they're not going to have the... It used to be, as I read, where Greenspan said, it's not what we do at the Federal Reserve, it's what we say that makes the differences. It's not what we do. We don't, you know, we just, it's our talk. It's our speak. Words do matter. And so, but Powell and his buddy Yellen, Janet Yellen, they're actually losing that credibility. So really, I don't think their words are going to matter anymore, and it doesn't seem like their actions are mattering very much either.
I don't know many people that have excess savings. I mean, excess means more than you need. I don't see that with anybody that I know of. And
not for a lot of folks.
No, not for many, many folks. And forced savings from not being able to travel. The people that had that money given them when they couldn't travel was already spending it trying to keep the bills paid. These people either are bald-faced liars or they're really stupid, one or the other.
They're not stupid.
There you go.
Bald-faced liars.
That's exactly what it is. And you know, that should make people read that angry. It should make them angry. As someone in his position would dare say that, the people that are struggling just put food on the table. That should make him angry. Go ahead.
And things are not going to get better. I mean, here's an article here about a massive pileup of car furniture exports bound for the U.S., and it's spreading across European ports. nobody wants to buy anything anyway if it's going to take months to get, and that's what they're saying. Labor slowdowns and strikes at the German and Netherlands ports are creating a massive pileup of export containers that were bound for the U.S., and it's going to take months to clear out. According to the bills of lading found through Import Genius, some of the items that are exported out of these ports are critical components to the auto sector, like lithium batteries, fully assembled automobiles, as well as a wide variety of auto parts and chassis. Mercedes, BMW, and Ford were listed in recent U.S. custom filings. U.S. importers need to look 4 to 5 weeks in advance to see if there is a vessel available, said Andreas Brom, Europe, Middle East, and Africa Ocean Product Director of Crane Worldwide Logistics. This is not normal. Also, if you're lucky to book a slot on a vessel, you then have to locate an empty container, which can be in the hinterland. Home decor, flooring, furniture from IKEA was also listed. The congestion from these ports is spreading to other major ports in Europe. Slowdowns in vessel arrival, containing processing, and container availability, as well as trucking, are common problems. So, according to Sea Intelligence, that tracks vessel schedule reliability, only 30 to 40% of all global schedules are on time. And they're saying that this congestion will only, it's just going to get worse.
Well, I can tell you from secondhand knowledge from one of my sons who works in the auto industry, sales are way off.
Yeah.
Way off. I mean, from last year, there's no comparison. They're way down. So I guess we need to ask Mr. Powell to send us some more of those excess savings, because nobody can afford to buy a car. So that's just what's happening. You're right. I don't see this thing turning around anytime in the near future at all. But there is some good news here, Melody, that if you is a flight in Delta Airlines that was going to fly from Michigan to Minnesota, they overbooked, so they offered 8 passengers $10,000 to get off the flight. How about that?
Wow.
This is USA Today. The airline offered the money to each passenger who volunteered to be bumped from a domestic flight of Grand Rapids Monday morning, according to media outlets. Jason Aitken, his tech columnist at Inc. magazine, wrote he was sitting on the outbound plane waiting for the aircraft to leave the gate when the flight attendant got on the intercom. The crew was looking for 8 volunteers to give up their seats on an apparently oversold flight, offering them $10,000 each. So if Marsh's not been there, it'd be $20,000. If you have Apple Pay, you even have the money right now, the flight attendant said. Wow. They were going to give away $80,000 as if it's nothing, just to unload a few people off the plane. So I just thought,
what airline was that?
That's Delta.
Wow. Well, yeah, they're having a problem. All their pilots are striking, and
Then it's Delta.
And where's our industrious leader, Buttigieg? He's the one that should be working out those problems, isn't he? The transportation secretary, isn't that him?
Well, he's a little busy raising a family, you know.
No,
but anyway, that's just that. I don't want to call that. I mean, I guess they had to do that in order to get the flight off the ground. I don't know, but it's just, I thought it was kind of excessive, but that's their money. In the way of a little bit more good news, churches across U.S. build tiny home villages amid worsening affordability crisis. Churches across U.S. are working with homeless charities to construct tiny home communities amid one of the worst housing affordability crises ever. AP News says churches are using spare land to build tiny home communities to accommodate the homeless. On vacant plots near their parking lots and steepled sanctuaries, congregations are building everything from fixed and fully contained microhomes to petite, movable cabins and several other styles of small footprint dwellings in between. Church leaders are not just trying to be more neighborly. The drive to provide shelter is rooted in their beliefs that they must care for the vulnerable, especially those without homes. More than 500,000 Americans were homeless in 2020. The number has likely climbed as shelter costs, if renting or owning has exploded, triggering the worst ever housing affordability crisis on record. As we've previously noted, soaring shelter costs force people into homelessness. So I think that's pretty nice the churches that can do that to provide a mini home, a roof over the head, and a place to sleep for those who are homeless. If they are run right and the people actually need a place to stay and are people that want to have a place to stay, it may benefit a few people. I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm,
that's just my opinion.
So. Mm-hmm.
Now that, you take my opinion, Melody, and go to any cafe and get a cup of coffee, $2 for that.
There you go. $2 is cheap.
It is cheap. It is. I know it is. That's because you got my opinion. That's why. It's worth nothing, but you know. And Lego, believe it or not, Lego. I never did come up with Lego toys. People love them. That's great. Lego invests $1 billion in U.S. plant, creating over 1,760 new jobs. The Lego group is building a 1.7 million square foot production facility just south of Richmond in Chesterfield, Virginia. Lego is investing $1 billion in the U.S. factory to shorten supply chain and keep up with growing demand for its popular plastic bricks. The factory will create over 1,761 jobs in a range of professional and production positions and will be powered by renewable energy produced at an on-site solar park. We were impressed with all the Virginia has to offer, from access to a skilled workforce, support for high-quality manufacturers, and great transport links. We appreciate support for our ambition to build a carbon-neutral run facility, construct a solar park, and are looking forward to building a great team with support from the Virginia Talent Accelerator Program, said Lego Group's CEO Niels B. Christensen. So that is some good news. Almost 1,800 people get a job in Lego. That's good.
Well, let me ask you a question. What was that part again about the solar?
They're going to be totally run on solar, it says.
Yeah. How much money are they getting from our federal government to do that?
I don't know.
Because we just brought up Pete Buttigieg's name. You know, he's getting so much money from this administration to focus on climate change. He's gotten billions and billions, and this goes back a year ago in May 28, 2021, $85 million for clean climate research, $905 million in infrastructure grants, $126 billion. He's going to oversee $126 billion in spending from President Biden's infrastructure bill, using some of the money to reconnect communities. And you know, he's getting all of this money from the government to push this climate control. And I haven't had a chance to see exactly what the Supreme Court did with the environmentalists, but I heard it wasn't good.
It made them mad.
Yeah. So... But yeah, unbelievable. 800-375-4188. Discount gold and silver. We'll be right back.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. freedomradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. Unlikely there will be a newsletter this week. Dave might be able to produce one on Tuesday. We will be closed on Monday, so our offices will be closing right after this program. So you got a few minutes after 5 o'clock Eastern time to give us a call for any of your orders. Get it while you can. And I guess you already knew this, but this was an updated article from CNBC where the U.S. approves $820 million more dollars to military aid package for Ukraine. Russia says Iron Curtain is already descending, and it's the Pentagon. I mean, it's where are they going to stop? They're also going to provide Ukraine with two National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems, or NASAMS, as well as up to 150,000 rounds of 155mm artillery ammunition and four additional counter-artillery radars. The new package brings the U.S. commitment to approximately $7 billion since February 24th.
Well, we can afford that. No big deal. Let's say $1 billion in a budget of how many trillion?
Wow.
What's $7 billion? But Russia vows retribution for NATO historic Russia vows retribution for NATO's historic transformative new moves. A bungled campaign in Ukraine leaves Russia with fewer and more dangerous options for retaliation against NATO's dramatic new deployments. So, folks, the rattling the sabers, and this is not for practice. This is real stuff. What is happening will invariably lead to compensatory measures on our part, Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov told reporters Wednesday morning. We have the capabilities and resources. Security will be 100% guaranteed. Russia on Wednesday threatened to further escalate its military posture in Europe to defend against new deployments by NATO that leaders within the alliance call historic and transformative. What is happening will invariably lead to compensatory measures on our part, that Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov told reporters Wednesday morning. Ryabkov was responding to announcements out of the ongoing NATO summit in Spain that the alliance would increase its high readiness force to well over 300,000 troops, that the U.S. would station major military headquarters in Poland, the first permanent basing of American forces on NATO's eastern flank, and the historically neutral Nordic countries in Sweden and Finland and Russia's northern border now face a clear path to NATO membership. The sudden developments, many unthinkable at the end of last year, came as the U.S. and Western partners seek new ways to impose costs on Russia for its unprovoked invasion of Ukraine in late February, gambling that what they consider acts of deterrence won't, in fact, push Russia into expanding its war into other parts of Europe. Well, this unprovoked invasion, if you know what's going behind the scene, is a lie. It's a lie. But it is what it is, and that's what the American people are believing. And they're hoping that Russia will not want to expand the war into Europe. Melody, if all of a sudden people around you, all the your neighbors started ganging up on you, and you had some means to defend yourself, would you just continue to let it happen? Would you defend yourself?
Well, I don't think people are used to countries defending themselves. I mean, this is a tough one. It really is a tough one.
Well, but the problem, who provoked it, who started it, and really who's the one that's instigating all these moves now?
And there are no treaty talks. There's no one talking.
No, there's no one
talking. Trying to bring this to an end.
No.
There's no conversations.
We're not putting
boots on the ground. There should be huge meetings involving the United States and Russia and Ukraine and, you know, maybe some other, you know, Germany, since they get so much. But nothing. Nothing. And if, you know, if, and I'm not a fan of the UN, but where's the UN on this? Aren't they the ones that are supposed to be protecting all these nations?
We have to understand.
I don't know.
Some of these people want war. They really want war.
That's what they want, and that's where we're going. And I can't believe when you talk to people and say, is Ukraine worth a nuclear war? Now, I'm not saying that people aren't worth it, and that's not what I'm saying. But are we there to continue to agitate to bring it to a nuclear war? And you don't get answers from people. Because they think, and he might very well be, they compare him to Putin, to, you know, Hitler and everything else, because that's all the propaganda that's out there. Yeah, he ain't a nice guy. He's pre-KGB, for goodness sakes. That's never changed. But when everybody was kissing his butt how many years ago, and when he first came on the scene, the first thing out of our mouths doing radio was, yeah, he's ex-KGB, so where do you think this is going to lead to? They don't give that up. And so here we are. So why is it a big surprise to anyone? It wasn't to us back in the 90s. And it's just amazing, Butch. So now we sit on close to going to a nuclear war over a corrupt nation.
Ukraine is very corrupt. It was a puppet of the U.S. We know that. They launder money there. That's one of the biggest centers for child trafficking, sex trafficking. We know that. They admitted to have, Pentagon admitted they had at least 48 bioweapon facilities there to create bioweapons, which is against law in the U.S. They put them over there. Admitted all this. So what's the point? I mean, I hate war. I hate seeing anybody get hurt and killed. But you have to stop and think, why wasn't somebody talking by stopping this before it got started? Or we not meet with Russia and saying, what can we do to not to stop this from happening? Why do we have to go to war? Well, you don't want war. We don't want war. So let's work it out. But as you said, no one's even said hello to each other.
Zelensky, so, Ukraine's president, was laughing prior to the invasion. Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yes, he was.
He was telling his people it's not going to happen. And it is the poor people. That's who people feel compassion for, is what's happening to the people. It's never the people's fault. It's the government's fault and the leader's fault that take us to these extremes for wealth and power. And that's not anything new from, you know, day one, I guess.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it just shocks me. And everything shocks me nowadays. You know, Walmart, they're working on a response to the Supreme Court abortion decision, CEO says in a memo. What the heck does Walmart have anything to do? Why are they even responding? Who cares what Walmart says? What difference does it make what Walmart says? Why should that even be a headline? It's nutty out there, Butch.
Yeah,
who are these people
really
who think?
It really is.
This is a true destruction and the breaking down of this country, of the Supreme Court, of everything. Because nothing has any meaning. if a law is passed, well, they're going to bypass it. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to change it. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. There is no law and order in this country. It's frightening, Butch.
Yes, it is.
But yet we've known it.
It's insanity.
We've known it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I, you know what? I guess it's that little bit of hope. You think, oh, it's not going to happen. But it is.
We're watching it happen. You can no longer deny this is happening. It's happening right in front of your eyes, folks. It's like denying you have 4-stage cancer when you watch it was getting eaten out. You can't deny it. It's there. The only you can deny it, but it's not going to do anything to change it. It's going to kill you. But California is making another move, Melody, to really help a lot of people that are criminals. California is going to offer health insurance to all undocumented immigrants in the state. There are around 700,000 illegals in California. And they're going to give them all Medi-Cal. Put them on a Medi-Cal program. Taxpayers, of course, will pay for it. But now, so California not only started giving them food stamps, all of them food stamps, now give them all insurance at the expense of the taxpayers in California. California is losing people every day. How long can they go on with this madness before the whole thing collapses? But you know, Newsom sits there in his mansion. He's not worried about too much. His Aunt Pelosi is still Speaker of the House. She's not worried about too much. So we're seeing, again, that's almost like intentional destruction of these things. Almost intentional destruction. Certainly the legislature in California realized that they can't afford to keep this kind of spending up. But they're giving illegals free food stamps and insurance while the homeless numbers still grow in Sacramento. Okay. That's really great. Any comments on that?
No. No, no, no.
And one of the worst downturns in recent history, according to Zuckerberg, warns Facebook employees to brace for layoff. Zuck warns Facebook employees to brace for layoffs. 1 month ago, we showed that while the BLS still reveals in its seasonally adjusted statistical nonsense to define the monthly levels of payrolls, the real world is seeing a wave of mass layoffs like the likes of which have not been seen since the COVID crash. Fast forward today, when it appears that we are about to hit the motherload of mass layoffs after none other than Zuck sounded the alarm bell. According to Reuters, Facebook owner Meta Platforms has cut plans to hire engineers by at least 30% this year. And he told me as he warned them to brace for a deep economic downturn. If I had to bet, I'd say that this might be one of the worst downturns that we've seen in recent history, Zuckerberg told workers in a weekly employee Q&A session, audio of which was heard by Reuters. So even Zuckerberg says prepare yourself for a bunch of layoffs and the worst downturn in recent history. Now, I know that Jerome Powell is right. Zuckerberg isn't right. Everything's fine. Jerome Powell said we have excess savings. We're living off that, and so nothing to worry about. But Zuckerberg says, get ready, it's going to get rough. Comments on that?
No. We're having the easiest recessions that we've ever had. You just ignore it and say, hey, there's no, we're not in a recession. The economy's great.
Just cover up your head, the boogeyman go away, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we knew this. GM vehicle sales tumbled 15% as chip crunch, supply snags drag. General Motors company reported a 15% drop in second quarter auto sales on Friday as the global chip shortage and supply chain disruptions hit production that left nearly 100,000 vehicles waiting for more parts. The U.S. auto industry is struggling to keep up with the pent-up consumer demand for new cars as it struggles to ramp up production due to chip shortage, a labor crunch, and problems related to supply chain log jams. GM, which lost its crown as a sales leader last year for the first time since 1931 to Toyota, has sold 583,401 vehicles in the quarter through June versus 688,236 vehicles last year. So, You know, and we used to be a saying, as GM goes, so goes the country. Well, GM lost its number one position in sales in the world to Toyota last year. And Toyota's a fine car. But that just goes to show that the underpinning for America's economy has been chopped down another notch, folks. GM no longer runs the world with the biggest payroll in the world. No longer does it. And it's still going down in demand for the vehicles. And I know for a fact that sales are way off. So this is not, now this is, this, as Melody said, this is not a recession. It's just, don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. It's fine.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry
Everything's
about it.
Good. It's good. Everything's good. You know, I saw a little cartoon and it was kind of funny. I'll briefly describe it and hopefully everyone can get a visual of it. But there's this car. Remember those older cars that speedster cars that would show their engines up out of their hoods stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this shows this cartoon and a guy behind the steering wheel and this big engine is popping up out of the hood and it says the U.S. economy. And then it shows a fan belt that's connected to a big windmill trying to get it to spin. There's a little donkey there that says, now try it, as he's rubbing his hands like he's working on the engine trying to get it going. And you know, it's sad because that's exactly what we have. The economy is being given up on just so we can get this new power, and it's not they don't hide it anymore. In the beginning, they were kind of hiding it, but now it's just like, no, this is the new transition into the new infrastructure that they are creating and that they're building. And which I don't know if they went through something like this when they were trying to make roads across this country for automobiles. I mean, was there the same type of, you know, uproar of government spending money on something where most people didn't have cars and so forth? They couldn't afford them. They couldn't travel. They still were doing things.
Well, I had a national program last week concerning a lot of things, and we talked mostly about the so-called climate change. We both agreed that solar and wind will replace what we call fossil fuels to run our energy levels. There's not enough of it available to keep this nation running like we used to. It's not viable. I'm not saying you can't do some of it that way. If you can do some of it, then more power to you. But you're going to have fossil fuel back up. You're not going to produce enough energy up panels to run your whole home the way you're accustomed to it. I checked into it. No way I could afford something like that. It would even come close to working. So that's where we are.
All right. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And we're in the last segment of the program today, heading into a long weekend. And how would you like to begin this segment, Butch?
Well, with some more news, but it isn't pleasant news, but it's still news. Folks, the pleasant news is, if you're not a born-again believer, yes, you can be, and you can have your peace in the heart with Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to like what's happening more than anybody else does, but you at least have peace in your heart and know you're doing the best you can. And your future in Christ is secured if you trust Him. But nonetheless, that's the good news. That's called the gospel. Back to the real world here as far as what's happening. Rationing has already started in Europe as the entire globe plunges into a horrific economic nightmare. I'm not going to go through the whole article, but it says if countries in Europe are already beginning to ration certain things due to supply problems, how long will it be before it starts happening in the United States? Now, in some places in Europe, they're rationing stuff like flour, sunflower oil, sugar, and different things that they're rationing people because they don't have enough to go around. So that doesn't sound like a lot, but folks, it's a beginning. It's a beginning, but here back in our place, food inflation desperation leads to violent attacks in grocery stores. This is by Mike Adams. As food inflation worsens, a sense of desperation is seizing the minds of the American people. Some of them are lashing out in acts of violence against workers at grocery stores and other food retail locations. America is now seeing a shocking rise in retail location violence that seems destined to only get worse. Joe Biden's catastrophic economic and energy policies have led to a 400%, folks, increase in the price of fertilizer, 100% increase in the price of diesel fuel, supply chain disruptions, and food production shortfalls. Even infant formula has been in a supply chain crisis, and the cost of agriculture inputs today means a far higher price in the coming months. The result is record high food inflation that keeps getting worse. Higher costs of food gobble up higher percentage of discretionary incomes for consumers, hitting low-income consumers especially hard. When food prices rise to a point of requiring 50% of a person's income just to eat, history tells us that societies break down and lurch into uprising and revolts. Now, even the New York Times is covering the trend, reporting that violence against grocery and retail workers is exploding. In her 37 years in the grocery industry, said Kim Cordova, a union president in Colorado, she never experienced the level of violence that her members face today. What happened with COVID, said Cordova, president of Local 79, United Food and Commercial Workers, people have changed. Sometimes I wonder if I am living in a Netflix movie. This can't be real, but it is real, just as food inflation is real. Elections have consequences, and rigged elections have catastrophic consequences because the criminals who stole the election never had the backing of the American people. So they destroyed the economy, shut down energy infrastructure, set fire to food production facilities, and diluted the value of the dollar through haphazard money printing. The result? Fewer and fewer Americans can afford to pay for basic necessities like food. Grocery stores are tired of being ransacked by criminals, especially when those criminals are protected by the left-wing district attorneys in blue cities where criminals are granted a kind of left-wing privilege to loot and steal whatever they want. These criminals feel like they own the place, said Tony Settles, a clerk at a Safeway in downtown Denver. Now many grocery workers and grocery chains want to fight back. From that same story, it says that the union negotiated a contract that ensures workers have the right to defend themselves if a customer attacks them. It's a grim acknowledgement of not only the violence plaguing many facets of American society, but the increasing unwillingness of retail employees to keep turning the other cheek to crime in their stores. The reality is that as food inflation gets far worse, grocery and convenience store employees are facing going to face a rising number of violent attacks. We expect to see flash mob looting up grocery stores before the end of the year, and food prices are no doubt going to continue to climb to alarming levels in 2023 and possibly beyond. It's now abundantly obvious that food prices skyrocket. Grocery stores are going to be hit with a wave of violent attackers who are desperate to feed themselves and their families. As the attacks intensify, many food retailers and supply will simply decide to close up shop in high-risk areas. This, in turn, would deprive law-abiding customers of access to food, only worsening food scarcity and panic, leading to an expanding wave of desperation and lawlessness. When honest people are starving, they tend to do radical things they wouldn't normally do. When dishonest people are starving, they do completely off the reservation and are willing to threaten or harm almost anyone to acquire food. We're going to see society collapse into its most animalistic tendencies as this food scarcity crisis unfolds in the blue cities where most inhabitants reject Christian values and despise morality and ethics are going to be hit the hardest. Personally, I expect to see many blue cities burning before the end of the year, and 2023 may be even worse. I also expect to see food rationing, and price controls. If we see price controls, folks, it won't be the first time. It happened back in the 1970s also under Richard Nixon. So history is repeating itself, and this time it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. Maybe that's a pretty hard-hitting article, but it just tells it like it is, and I can't do anything about it. It's telling the truth. I mean, when you have presidents of unions who are fearing for the people that work with them, and they want to arm themselves to defend themselves, that's not good. That's not a good thing to face, is it?
No, it really isn't, and we certainly are going to see a lot of change. I mean, we are already seeing it, and, you know, with all these things that are happening and the anger, the division that we face, and it's all part of it. It's all, and that's, you know, it is what it is. It's here, and you can only look out for yourself.
Well, you've been warning me this for many years. I know you have, because I've known you for many years. And I have been, too, from the Christian perspective. I've been warning this happens. A society that forgets its moral bearings always just crumbles into a massive pile of chaos. Without morals, nothing will last, Melody. Without morals, you and I couldn't be very good friends, because we still from each other, we lie to each other. We couldn't be friends. Without morals, we'd never be able to build a relationship, even a radio show. Morality is important. Without that, and without a basis for morality, how do you build anything at last?
You know, it's interesting, and because I don't do Facebook a lot. I go on there. I look. I never put anything on. I don't write anything. I don't post any pictures. I don't. I mean, we have a Facebook page for Discount Gold and Silver, but not personally. I don't have one personally. So it fascinates me in a way, because there's a lot of funny things on there. You can get a chuckle or two every now and then, because most of the people that I know are funny. We have fun. But when they get political, it amazes me, Butch, of how so distorted they're, and they might think we're the same. Maybe we're distorted. I don't think we are. But when it comes to faith and their comments about God and these abortion, it's amazing it even gets posted, because there's never, ever, ever anything to show the opposite side.
And they can't.
All the things that are coming through, yeah, all of the things that's coming through, it's all pro-abortion.
Yep.
Nothing for against it. And they think this is they think it's still a good thing. I don't know, it just really bothers me.
Sure and, does. But the other side can't speak. They'll be taken off Facebook. You know that.
Yeah.
That's part of the plan.
I saw something today about, you know, how they distort things. They're talking about how a little 14-year-old girl gets pregnant. Well, she can put it up for adoption. And, I mean, they just make everything so ugly. But yet what they're supporting is the ugliest thing of all.
Well, you remember Rod Sterling?
I do.
The Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a picture of him here, and it says, imagine a world where you live in a country that allows the people of each individual state to decide whether or not murder should be allowed or not. And people are going to riot because they don't believe that should be a choice, but compulsory. Imagine a world like that. That's where we live today. That's where we live today. So, yes, Melody, it's really the same. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28, God says, smite them with madness and astonishment of the heart. Isaiah 5:20 says, they'll call good evil and evil good. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says that because they don't punish evildoers quickly, the evil spreads. So that's where we are.
That's where we are
today. America today.
And I just don't understand why people can't see that. It just...
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, you probably know Kohl's. Everybody knows who Kohl's is. A fairly large corporation.
Department store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have like 1,100 stores across the United States. Well, the sales fell through with the franchise group that was going to buy them. Their shares dropped a bunch, and so they actually withdrew the offer. They wanted to cut their offer down, and Kohl's said no, so the franchise group's not going to buy them. But Kohl's market has dropped 15% just since the collapse of the talks was over. It dropped 20% since January, and 15% more since the collapse of talks. So Kohl's is a huge, huge department store. And they're a pretty good store. They have a lot of things in them. I mean, good quality merchandise.
Yeah.
But they might be going out. And we all know about the truckers and the illegals in Texas or in the border, what happened. As business booms for people, smugglers using trucks in Texas, risks grow. Months before, a dozen migrants died inside a sweltering tractor trailer this week that has slipped through the Border Patrol checkpoint on Texas Highway. Another truck driver was making the same journey, carrying 52 migrants. Roderick Dwayne Chisley was stopped on December 17, 2021, driving a stolen rig on the I-35 highway, which runs north from Laredo to San Antonio. According to court documents, Chisley said his payment for agreeing to drive the vehicle with no questions asked was $50,000. Experts say human smugglers are increasingly using 18-wheeler trucks to move large numbers of migrants, and court records reviewed by Reuters, including from Chisley's case, offer a detailed look at how the process plays out. Criminal organizations can take advantage of the corrupt drivers. A growing volume of cargo traffic difficult to scan and record number of migrants crossing the United States, experts and U.S. officials said. The business of the organizations, these criminal organizations that move these people, get between $5,000 to $8,000 per person. So if they got 50 on a truck, at $8,000, that's 40. That's what, how much that would be, am I thinking right? That'd be 80. Yeah. That'd be 800. That'd be 80. Well, my mind's going blank. But nonetheless, it's very profitable. Very profitable. So why wouldn't they do anything about it with it? Any comments on that? I mean, $400,000 for one load. You give the truck driver $50,000. He's tickled pink. You made a good profit there.
Yeah, you certainly do. And no one will be held accountable for it.
That's very true. That's very true. And we're getting down the last few minutes. Time going by so fast. I'll just mention this real quick and move on. A quarter of Americans, this is really sad, open to taking up arms against government, poll says. Of 1,000 registered voters they polled, 26% of them said they're ready to take up arms immediately and if necessary. But folks, that's something we see it happening. I don't even like to even talk about it, but it's just the mindset of the people. And it's what it is. And now they have an algorithm that predicts crime a week in advance. So they're going to be checking people out on their algorithms, different methods. This is out of the University of Chicago that developed this. They can detect crime before it happens. Do you remember the show Minority Report?
I do.
The same thing there. Now, let's get to a good news report for running out of time, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
After being threatened with eviction, a retiree was able to buy the house he had rented for two decades after $250,000 was raised by the community on her behalf. Known for having a heart of gold and a pair of green thumbs, Linda Taylor was a beloved neighbor in her Minneapolis community. After arriving in the area 19 years ago as a volunteer to help the homeless and needy, she began renting a small house on 10th Avenue and 36th Street in the Powderhorn Park District. There, the 70-year-old retiree became a bright star of the neighborhood. It seemed, though, that bright star would be severely darkened, perhaps permanently, when her landlord decided to sell the property and gave her until the end of January to evict. Word gets around tight communities, and after she told one neighbor, the greater part of Powderhorn rallied around her, striking a deal with the landlord that if she would give Miss Linda until the end of June, they would raise the money to buy the house. There was no one-size-fits-all approach to the fundraising efforts. Inflation is at a 40-year high, driven by previous monetary inflation reaching broader sectors of the community, while gas just crossed a national level of $5 a gallon. Yet even in such difficult times, folks were able to open heart, mind, and wallet to make the project a reality. It involved an art show, bake sale, pro bono work by a real estate agent, countless small donations, and other community fund drives to come up with the dough, which they did a full month ahead of the June 30th deadline. Yesterday I went and did the closing for the house, Taylor said. It makes me feel so good. Everything that I have given came back to me, and I want to continue to give. I love this neighborhood. Beautiful, beautiful.
Very nice.
Beautiful. I mean, there's still, folks, some good left. Let's just take time to appreciate that. Thank God for the good hearts of people yet. Spend time with your family. Love them over the holidays. Love them to pieces because they may not be here next time. Let them know you care. Do what's right. Stand for truth. Prepare yourself. And don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may, because you're glorifying your Father in heaven. And let's see what He can do to maybe guide us a little better in our lives.
Thank you for a great ending, Butch. And we'll be back on Tuesday. Enjoy the 4th. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.